Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Our family is just getting bigger and bigger. Welcome to 657 AM.
Sala umamele umhlobo wakho wemihlangemisa. Fumana i-app yethu kwi-App Store okanye kwi-Play Store. Kungenjalo, qhagamshelana nathi kuradiopulpit.co.za.
Turns out my crash course with Dr. J wouldn't have worked either way. It's nothing that I know, totally something different.
Oh, yeah.
So I was going to go in there and show you something else, Dr. J, but it turns out, I'm not as knowledgeable as I thought I was.
Yeah, you always need the technicians around
you. Exactly. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Really, last week I was out and had a time with Dr. Fred flying out to the U.S. and I think heading to Cape Town. Mm-hmm. And I just told you off mic that I wish I took that trip.
off to the U.S. as well.
I wish I took that trip to the U.S. But we had a good time in Cape Town. It was more or less a national conversation around homelessness, a very key area of research we're doing with the University of Pretoria now. So it was for the first time, I think, the great mobilization. It was hosted by the city of Cape Town. But again, it had the great ingathering of all those who have, you know, key stake at the space of homelessness. And the truth about it is that we're really forging towards a national policy around homelessness, which is, under consideration now. There is already, I think, a green paper around it. And green papers, that's a legal term.
Of course. I was about to say, please do clarify green paper to our people.
Green paper seemed to be just a preliminary participation already, consultation, participation around the formulation of a policy, which most often, you know, you get key stakeholders give their input into what might formulate and also inform homelessness in the given space, especially of South Africa, because there's no national policy, so Treasury will not be able to put budget around it, and that's what is happening now. So the reality about it is that the consultation is ongoing around the green paper, which will lead to a white paper.
Okay, which is now the actual policy.
Yeah, so the white paper is not yet law.
Okay.
the white paper is further consultation, but most of the times white papers are considered experts' opinions. Mm-hmm. So when it gets to a white paper consultation, you're getting now the very experts in the field, while green paper is public participation.
Okay.
White paper is much more inclusive
experts
consultation, and it leads now to a bill. And that bill is sent to Parliament, and Parliament now technically, because they are vested with that very prerogative to enact
to
laws.
The bill. Okay.
So the Parliament Commission, which will be dedicated towards homelessness, will be studying the bill, and that bill will be passed as an act, which will be a ratification by the president, which will give it enforcement as a published act, which will have an enforceable connotation at that time.
So I'm happy just for that lesson, because and I'm saying this because oftentimes we always react when something is already an act.
Yeah.
And we're like, the chances are it didn't just become.
Now you're taking me to law. South Africa has a very unique law review system, and that law review system, which is unique, is that it gives participation to the public. And so if ever there is any act which does not qualify, has not gone through the process of public participation, it might be rendered by constitutional court as null and void, because public participation gives public ownership and also belonging to that act. One of them, which was a great controversy, was the toll gate, the e-toll, which definitely did not go through a proper public participation. So public participation might take the form of imbezos, where you have, you know, communities come together to give their opinion on a given process of law which is being contemplated upon before you shift it into the technical space, which you call the white space, white paper, for consultation. But again, South Africa has a very sui generis model, which is quite unique in the sense of, I just use the Latin tag sui generis to say it's unique in the sense that it allows room for people to participate. And that's why South African constitution is one of the most participatory, but also most progressive constitutions in the world. You know, in what we call the travaux préparatoires, which is a French word.
it just
again is a French word, but used in English, which means in the very preparatory work towards the constitution, we have, I think, an estimate of about 2 million people who participated in the crafting of the constitution in terms of voices, and which is quite unique in most democracies, to understand that people can also add their voices.
Okay,
there are pros and cons to the constitution. We wouldn't want to get into details, but the reality is that I think South African constitution lends a very unique breed in terms of chapter 2 of the constitution, which protects, you know, human rights, which again, it's called a Bill of Rights. It's a very unique portion of the Constitution, which gives a range of rights and responsibilities, because rights don't just come, they come also with responsibilities. But again, there's a pro to it. The pro to it is that we have a democracy that advocates for human rights. The cons to it is that there are key areas which needs to be refined. Because you can also have excessive rights in what is called, again, in French, libertinage. And libertinage is just a term to mean excessive rights. So you can't find, a case in point might be prisoners' rights, where statistics coming up now is that prisoners are on about 3,000, I don't know, more, or 30,000, I don't know, but I'm giving estimates. But prisoners might be on about 3,000 to 6,000 per person each month, and while a normal citizen, non-convicted, is about 350 rand. And this is all about advocacy for prisoners' rights, you know. I'm giving a low-end estimate because I heard it's higher. I heard government spends much more
on a prisoner.
On a prisoner. Some estimates have even gone to over 3,000 to 30,000 per prisoner per month, which covers everything. Then you have a non-convicted person who is on 350. So you have the pros and the cons of that, which subjects, again, a lot into legal reforms and reviews. But again, it protects. The first thing is that you wouldn't want your freedom of expression to be curtailed. You wouldn't want access to information to be limited, especially within press space where we're serving now. You wouldn't want your freedom of worship to be infringed.
Of course.
And so you have a democracy which gives latitude to freedom in the range which is sometimes, you know, what we call, now I'm so much into my legal space.
Can you see the smile on my face? I'm literally glued.
You have what we call derogable and non-derogable rights. A non-derogable right is a right without a limitation. And you have a right like the right to life, where you can't limit life. That's why South Africa does not have death sentence like Botswana.
Okay.
So, like Tanzania.
So that they don't say you're picking on them.
There's a case in point now in Tanzania of this young girl on social media who picked up a train because TikTok is trending, and because the elections in Tanzania went, you know, south, and it wasn't pleasant in terms of the conduct of the election. And I'm saying it from a very independent point. I was not part of the observers team, but a lot of people were tortured, and Again, some sources said people died. A lot of people died. Estimates go to about 700 people were killed in the past Tanzanian election. There was one young girl who picked up a trend, and she started dancing to the tune of that trend. But again, the trend of that music was to the extent of defaming the character of the president of Tanzania.
Okay.
And because of the level of the draconian laws in Tanzania, that offense, it's tantamount to treason. And in Tanzania, any offense of treason is equivalent to a death sentence.
Ooh.
And so you
wouldn't
understand that just dancing can lead you to a death sentence in Tanzania. So please be careful if you get into that space, and especially if you dance to a tune which affects, you know, the physical, moral integrity of the president, you might be in deep problems. So again, just the preamble to our discussion today gives us room to be able to look at those issues, which again celebrate, you know, humanity in terms of spaces and democracies and systems which protects, you know, the rights of people. But again, understanding that there are many other mechanisms which are meant to evade it. So it's one thing for you to have a paperwork consecration and protection of rights, but it's another thing, the enforcement implementation might be totally different, especially in cases where you have law enforcement giving excessive powers in different democracies. I wouldn't name some of them now because I might get implicated. But in a nutshell, I think that's where we've been having conversation. We're looking at homelessness not only from a very sociological, anthropological point of view, but it's also, I believe, increasingly becoming even a human rights concern. If you focus especially on older persons' homelessness, we've come to realize, visited a shelter in Cape Town, and I couldn't imagine that those who lived in that shelter, 40% of them were above the age of 60.
Sure.
And which there are many factors, economic factors affecting a lot of elderly people who do not have, you know, a backup on pension to find themselves on the street. But again, I think the estimate year in Pretoria, 20, around older persons' homelessness is about 270 of them based on the last count.
Sure.
And we believe primarily the condition that really leads them into homelessness, especially older persons, is houselessness. So if we address adequate housing concerns, you might have an eradication of older persons' homelessness. In Canada, it's quite high. In Canada, older persons' homelessness is about 75%.
What?
It's quite high. It's quite high. One, you have a real estate space where rents have increased. You have joblessness. You have a lot of conditions which might affect older persons. And so there's a need. And I think my advocacy is from not only a theological standpoint, but also a little bit into a right-based approach, especially for the older persons, for government to start considering giving at least adequate housing to older persons. I think if we do that, there is a smaller percentage in terms of the broader spectrum of homelessness.
Okay.
If only in Pretoria you have a last count estimated of about 270, it's possible to give 270 older persons housing. And you will be able to eradicate homelessness technically within that bracket. But it's difficult because homelessness is a multifaceted, you know, a crisis and concern, which in a broader spectrum of things, it's difficult to be able to address every area of homelessness. But, you know, very specific areas in their very homogeneity of older people, we can address them. We can talk to that space, and we can see how we can alleviate the plight of older people. little bit of that in my space.
When you draw someone today. Into their passion.
Yeah, I think you took me there today. But I think we'll have more conversations around that while we have time. And I think a lot of people might wish to engage more. Today I want to talk to you about how powerful is your prayer. Mm. How powerful is your prayer? And I want to believe, because all through these days, look, I've been spending some time just praying, just seeking God's face. And most of the times it's been late hours of the night, because my days seem to be quite hectic. Mm-hmm. And so I've resorted to, you know, I've told you on air, most often the midnight and post-midnight, you know, window period, which I take to pray. And I think God laid James chapter 5, verse 16 upon my heart, which I definitely want to share with someone just to encourage somebody today. How powerful is your prayer? How powerful is your prayer? Is your prayer powerful because of the loudness of your prayer? Mm-hmm. You know, because some schools of thought have pushed the agenda that we have to be so loud in prayer. But I've come to realize that you can be so loud but so empty in your prayer. But the reverse of it is that some are of the opinion that you should be so quiet in your prayer, should be so silent in your prayer. Does the silentness of your prayer also lend credence to the very fact that your prayer has potency? And, you know, people take different postures also of prayer.
Yeah.
Does it mean that when you stand, God answers you best? Does it mean that when you kneel down conventionally, we've known of prayer to be a posture of kneeling down? Does it mean kneeling down translate into the power of your prayer? Does it mean prostrating? Mm-hmm. Just going flat on your stomach. Does it mean that posture is a reality of your heart? Because sometimes you might just go flat on your stomach, but you're still standing so tall in pride. And you wouldn't understand and realize. And so I think James chapter 5 verse 16 gives us a context, you know, which might, again, I think it's within that space that the Bible gives us an idea of the effectiveness of our prayer, because I'm definitely not giving that word. It's already in Scripture. The Bible says the effective prayer, the fervent prayer of the righteous, you know, and I wish us to go back to that passage and just to read it in terms of pericope this day. From verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we've come to see, if you don't take from the very early parts of James 5:16, you might miss out on what I'm about saying now, because the interrogation here is, what makes our prayers powerful?
Okay.
What makes our prayers effective? What lends the efficacy to our prayers? And again, I'm submitting to say, I will differ with you if you are only of the opinion that it is the loudness. I'll differ with you if you are only on the opinion that people should not be loud even. I'll differ with you in terms of posture, but I will agree with Scripture.
Okay.
I'll agree with Scripture in terms of what I'm about to present to you, which you might pray, and it's not the length of time of your prayer. Sometimes it's not the length of time of your prayer.
Not the articulation.
It's not the articulation, because some people are very verbose.
Sure, there are people who pray.
They are very dictionary oriented, and you would think that that the Bible has become a dictionary to them, which definitely I so much wish you to pray scripture. Mm-hmm. But it's not an English language, but I pray that the potency of God's word will be able to blend into your prayer and lend the very power to your prayer. But the first which we're introduced to, I give you three C's, like every good Baptist preacher, I give you three C's which might help your prayers to be powerful, which might help your prayers to be effective, which might raise the efficacy of your prayers. And it might be a 5 minutes local. Mm-hmm. It might be a 5 minutes, because let's not judge people who pray 5 minutes.
Of course.
I had friends way back when we just gave our lives to the Lord Jesus. I had friends who will put ourselves on challenge praying. And challenge also reading the Word of God, and you'll get this guy who goes, I just read 5 chapters today, and we'll ask him, but what did you learn from those 5 chapters? And he will be murmuring. And someone will come and also amplify it. I just spent 1 hour, 2 hours praying.
But what did you benefit?
But the outcome is that you see his level of anger after 1 hour. You wouldn't believe that he spent 1 hour with
in
God.
In his presence?
And you see the degree of anger that came out from the 5 hours of prayer. So I want to tell you something. If you really have a powerful prayer life, it will permeate into your character life. Take note of this. Yep. You definitely want to write this down. If ever your prayer is so powerful, and to test the efficacy of your prayer will be a test on the very demonstration of your character. Mm. Because your prayers also have the potency to transform your character to a greater extent. That's why I'm starting with the very first point. If you're writing down, we have as topic today, which is a question, and you definitely in expository preaching, you can have a question as a topic. Mm-hmm. How powerful is your prayer? How powerful is your prayer? Verse 16 says, confess your sins to one another. I think, look, you would have picked up my first C from there.
Yeah, character.
Okay, I want to put character, but my first C there should be confession.
Oh, okay.
So the Bible says confess.
Okay.
we want to start with confession, because it is a posture which gives you an introspection.
Oh.
Is that true, Luca?
Yeah.
So confession puts you at a position where you're not coming to the Lord in self-righteousness. You're not coming to the Lord with animosity. Mm. You're not coming to the Lord with bitterness and unforgiveness. Because most of us come into his presence with such eloquence and such arrogance as well. And so we must come to him in a posture of heart which says, Father, I can't do it. Mm. I depend on you. But also, Father, I'm not good in my very state of being, because my words, thoughts, and actions would have failed you in one way or the other.
Sure.
And so the first
sign
thing
of humility.
Thank you. The first area of consideration for the effectiveness of your prayer, James gives us already, and says that's confession. That's confession. That's what the Bible says. If you have an offense with your brother, before you go up there, before you step up there, you must be able to go out there and make peace with that brother or that sister. It's very important for us to understand that confession by no means means that we just say it by mouth, but confession means genuine
repentance, genuine
state of heart that says, God will fight my battles. I need not fight. God will fight for me. Romans 12, 18, 19, 20, 21. And confession also means turning away from your evil ways, because the Bible says confess and forsake. Confession just means that you can't commit a sin and think you will come before God. He's a just God, and Father, answer me in my sinfulness. And so confession is that posture which says, Father, have mercy on me.
Yeah.
So it's a place of mercy. It's a place where you believe that God will cleanse you, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So we come to that place where we believe in the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, to wash us, and to place us again acceptable and confident. What am I talking about, you know, in terms of confidence? 1 John 5:14 says our confidence comes in the very space and place where we have made right to be in the will of God. And I want to say this in this very context as well. Confession gives you confidence to stand before God.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives you confidence. Okay, let's put it in reverse. If ever you're living in sin, the devil will use it as a guilt trip in your prayer space. So if ever, and that's why the Bible says if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is just and faithful. So he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And so we come in today, and I'm inviting you, please, before you go to the Lord in prayer. I do that every day, local.
Wow.
And I don't do that religiously. I do that every day. And I come before the Lord because we have about 6,000 thoughts that, you know, just cross our minds every day. And it might not be, you know, sin of, you know, commission. It might be sin of omission, and the very things that you ought to do, but you're not doing them as well. So I come before the Lord and just ask him to have mercy over me.
Sure.
Just ask him to have mercy. And so let me go through the second point. So number one, write it down. Confession gives power to your prayer.
Come on.
Where you come to the place where you acknowledge that you're a sinner, but God is so merciful to forgive you and to give you strength to carry on. Number two, I do believe that it's not only for us to confess, but the Bible says the fervent prayer. And the fervency of our prayer means the consistency of our prayer.
Okay.
So
be consistent.
Be consistent. Thank you. So there's one thing for us to pray and for us to think that, you know, God is just that fireman who comes and quenches the fire and goes off. But sometimes God wants to see how desperate we are for that very thing. That's Luke 18. Luke 18 gives us the very first verse, how men ought to always pray and not to faint.
Amen.
And we get a scenario where people just come to the Lord with a heart of quick fix. And they wouldn't understand that sometimes God uses the place of prayer to build your character, especially the character, the fruit of the spirit of patience. So God wants to see how consistent are you? How consistent are you? Oh, I just having this in my heart now. You know, the consistency of our prayer lives gives us the very sustainability of our Christian life. Let me repeat that again. Okay, the consistency of your prayer life. So God wants you to be consistent. It means God wants you to pray. Sometimes he might dwell on one topic, have you pray on one topic for more than a month.
Okay.
I don't know if you've been there, Luca.
Yeah.
More than a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's ticking those boxes.
Yeah.
More than some years? Mm. Oh, yeah.
A number of years.
Mm. Okay.
And you're like, Lord.
Okay, I'm talking to a true man of God here. We all have been in that space where some of our prayers have not been answered in the day or in the minute. Let me start there. In the day, in a week, in a month, in a year or years. But that has given us a platform of a sustainable Christian life.
Come on.
Because we kept on trusting God.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, your consistency will be rewarded. Because that consistency also lends and brings in sustainability in terms of your Christian walk with God. So I'm asking you, don't give up. Confess, but be consistent. The prayers that were not answered last year, God might answer at the nick of time. I'm preaching a sermon this Sunday, local, titled The 11th Hour. The 11th hour, not because we are in the 11th month, November. It might be. I never thought of that. But the 11th hour, God has his very time frame, his very operation in our lives. And all what we need to do is to be consistent. And that consistency is don't give up. Keep on trusting the Lord because God's time is not your time. Yeah. God has the best time for you. Let me conclude. Number one, if you've been writing, how powerful is your prayer? So I give you three C's. The first C, your prayer can be as powerful as your confession. Your prayer can be as powerful as your consistency. Your consistency. You not giving up. But again, I think I'm really loving this topic, to say the last part is the fervent prayer of the righteous. Maybe you give me the last C. If the first was confession.
Okay.
If the second was
consistency.
Then I'm giving you a clue.
Okay.
The prayer of the righteous. There's a C there. And that C, I think somebody got it online already, but I'm thinking that local will give me.
Christ-like?
Very close.
Okay.
Very, very close.
Okay.
I see you. Sometimes read my thoughts. So the Bible makes mention of the prayer of the righteous. And the righteous there is C-O-N. C-O-N.
Con.
Okay.
Secretion. Consecration. Okay.
I thought you were close.
Okay. Yeah,
I think when you talked about Christ-likeness, I think you were very close.
Okay.
Look, it is one thing for you to come first. It's another thing for you to be consistent, but it's another thing for you to leave that life, to be consecrated. And the word consecration just means you're dependent on God to live in His will. You're dependent on God to live a righteous life. And again, you can't live a righteous life by yourself. It's imputed from Christ. And I want to say consecration is very important. It's important pre-prayer, during prayer, and post-prayer. It's very important for you to realize that even when God answers your prayers with that million-dollar house, you still need to be consecrated. You still need to be in the posture, in the place where you are serving God. Your heart is clean. Let not the blessings of God take you away from God. You must be in a place of reverence unto the Lord, a place of service unto the Lord, a place of purity and righteousness unto the Lord. That's what sustains your prayer. That's what makes your prayer powerful. So let's conclude. Number one, confession. Number two, consistency. Number three, consecration. You must be in a place where your life is totally laid down and laid bare at the foot of the cross, because it's no longer you who lives. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, but it's Christ who lives his life in and through you. So let me pray for somebody. Let me pray for somebody who might be thinking, Lord, you are not answering my prayer. I don't think my prayer is effective, it's powerful. But if you look at those 3 points, your prayer should be powerful. Don't guilt trip yourself. If you pray for 5 minutes and you just have that, let me tell you, you can have baby steps and you see the power come in. Do it consistently and you'll see how that will happen. Father, I'm praying for a sister, for a brother. They've been so much torn apart by life and they think you're not answering them. But Father, I know, oh God, that in the place of conversion, you answer us. In the place of not giving up consistently, seeking your face, you answer us. But in the place also of consecration, where despite the things we don't see, we still live a life that honors you, you answer us. I pray that you strengthen your daughter strengthen your son, give them strength to overcome even in this season, because the effective fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. J. Really appreciate this. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you.
Guiding your faith journey. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.